The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
This is Super League. It's a different game. A proper game. And proper fans. It tests you. Challenges you. It excites you. It pushes you. It's there on the back of the neck stuff. It's spine-chilling. Goosebumps. It's an explosion of testosterone and nerves. And at the end of them 80 minutes, you'll be a quivering wreck. Soaked to the skin in your own perspiration. Well, that's how I see it anyway. Super League. It's in a different league.
Well, Adrian, I punched the button. I'm back. I'm back in the studio with you, mate. I missed you immensely last time out.
Second time round for the final hooter. The last time round, it was all about the Super League. And we started it with, this is our time. I like the way we're reminiscing about the old Super League advert.
Ah, we did a mixture of two, though.
Bit of Johnny there, and then the extraordinary of the Rugby League, whatever it was.
You know what? I think that we should combine those two, and that should be Rugby League's mantra going forward.
That's the way forward.
I think that's the way forward. Look back to go forward. We've been doing it for 100 odd years, haven't we?
Well, everyone's slating off the Brownlee brothers are saying it's rubbish, aren't they?
It's a bit dull, I have to admit. It is a bit of a dull advert, but we're not for dulling down rugby league.
We're not.
Just talking it up, and we're here for a special, aren't we?
We are. The last time around, it was all about the Super League. Today, it's all about putting the spotlight on the Championship. League One as well, so we've got plenty of interviews coming your way as we look forward to the brand new season. Okay, League One doesn't start for at least another, is it 4 or 5 weeks?
I think it's about 3 weeks off.
Championship going in straight at the same time as Super League, so it's going to be some interesting times ahead, certainly in the Championship.
There's some massive stories, isn't there, this year? You've got Lee coming down from Super League.
Yes.
You've got Toronto coming up from League One. And I tell you what, there was that moment, wasn't there, at the launch event where both Paul Rowley and Neil Dukes went over to each other, didn't they?
Everyone thought they were going to punch him in the face.
Well, suddenly...
Like a standoff, wasn't it?
This is when I realised, you know, that something was happening. Because all of a sudden, all of the photographers that had been all based around the room were all in the one place. And I looked over. I thought, oh,
they're waiting for
what's happening
to happen
there? And I think they were expecting something like you said, like a boxing standoff, you know, and they're going nose to nose. But let's be honest, the two of them are good friends away from
the field, aren't they? Of course. You're mates away from the field. It's just when you're on the field, you're not mates. In League One as well, plenty of talk and spotlight on the fact that the mighty John Kerr and the mighty Bradford Bulls are down in the third tier of Rugby League. And Leon Price makes a welcome return back to the game, but it's the head coach of Workington.
Yeah, that's an interesting appointment in itself, isn't it? I mean, Leon had a very good career, represented England and Great Britain during his time. Now, is he one of these guys that he's going to put it across as a coach? Because sometimes it can go the other way, can't it? If you've been a really decent player and you've not quite got the same players around you that you had, is he going to be able to get his message across to those Workington boys?
Interesting. It'd be interesting to see. He's put a decent squad together anyway, but we'll reflect on that. Let's get a crack on with the interview, shall we? Let's hear from the man of the moment, the club of the moment in the Championship. It's Toronto. Paul Rowley, before we look ahead to the new season, let's look back on last season. Did you enjoy the ride, the experience of being over in Canada?
Loved it. I speak on behalf of myself and all the players that it was exceeded all our expectations. Mm. The biggest challenge was people worrying about time away in a different country and cutting the apron strings and all that sort of business, but I think after the week everybody realised that no, let's stay here. It's good, they enjoyed it, the fans were appreciative, the atmospheres at the games were brilliant, the city's positive and vibrant, and it's brilliant, absolutely fantastic.
Certainly the people in Toronto bought into the Rugby League concept.
Definitely, it's got all the best ingredients of all the favourite sports, and you know, once they learn that there's probably not time to turn up fashionably late like they do to the baseball, thinking there's another couple of hours left, they absolutely loved it. And you know, I think second game I was greeted with one bloke who's had a full-on Toronto tattoo on his leg, you know, so there's a commitment there. It's influencing the way that they go about their life and the way that they plan the weekends after 1 week.
Good first season. Second season can be another different challenge.
Oh, totally different. I mean, first season, you know, it was in with expansion clubs, and then the clubs like fighting back, been up there, and really hard working division, and really humbling rub shoulders with a lot of good people, and so it's good for us. This year, you know, we're in with all these teams now who boast a long list of silverware, a lot of them, heritage and history, and current situations that they're in good position, they're very strong. So we're in a mix we're in a pond with a lot of crocodiles, and it's going to be a right old tussle.
It's going to be an interesting battle throughout the season. Yeah. And I suppose because the Toronto will be the new boys on the block, you mentioned the history of them clubs, they'll be going all that to knock you off your block as such.
Yeah, and they did last year, I think. You know, the days of social media now, I think they probably see a lot of our boys enjoying life and posting pictures and this, that and other. And I guess it, I don't know, maybe it gets portrayed as a little bit of arrogance or what, but like anything in life, certainly in England, too much smiling and people want to kick you. So, and that's what happens. Everyone put the best foot forward against us. Everyone brought the best game. And I see that it'll be no different this year. But like I said before, we'll take everyone's punches, but we'll still be smiling.
He sounded in good spirits, didn't he, though?
I'm surprised he still had the energy to talk, because he must have been the most popular coach of the day, because he had that many press around him throughout the day. It was unreal.
It was unreal. I'm really pleased that you managed to get near him, because
it was right at the end, wasn't it? And you could hear him all packing up.
I was almost expecting the Black & Decker power tools to be coming into effect.
I was expecting it the way it was going on. But yeah, Toronto are going to be the boys that everyone wants to raise the game against. And he couldn't have picked the better fixture to kick off against, could he? His old club Lee in round one.
And I tell you what, he's already stoked up the fans, because he was basically saying that these players that he signed for Toronto, they weren't ex-Lee players. They were his players.
Oh, right, okay. That's...
And he reckons that... he's had...
Have that.
He reckons he's had a lot of support from the people of Lee.
Bang in the ribs.
He reckons he's had loads of support from the people of Lee. 99.9%. And he reckons that the 0.1% will probably be in the LSV on Sunday giving
supporting...
him stick.
Oh, yeah, okay. I thought you were going to say supporting.
Because he reckons they've got the loudest gobs.
Right. It'd be interesting to see how the Canadian... fan base over there in Toronto reacts to a couple of defeats, because I can't see Toronto doing what they did last season.
No, and I think the other thing, and this is probably the reason Paul gave such an animated interview ahead of that Lee fixture anyway, is he's got to keep the interest going, hasn't he?
Yes.
Because if you think about it, they're not at home for 5 months of the season, and then suddenly all the home games come at once, don't they?
Yes.
I mean, they've even gone and switched a couple of what would have been home games elsewhere, haven't they? They're playing Halifax down at London Scholars, and they're playing ahead of the Magic Weekend as well, aren't they?
That's a good platform for them to show their progress, I suppose, the Magic Weekend. I'm not a fan of it personally, but hey-ho, don't make the decision.
Yeah, I mean, it is an interesting one, you know, and they've jumped all over an opportunity there. You know, does that mean that in future years we could end up seeing, I don't know, a selected League One fixture before them, a selected Championship fixture? Well, who knows,
They don't even know what the format is for next season.
No.
Let's get this one out of the way. Then they might come up with an idea of how we're going to do things in 2019. You mentioned the Magic Weekend. It's Toronto versus Toulouse. Toulouse are another one of them expansion clubs, aren't they, that have got ambitions to be in the big league of Super League. Can they do it? Can they do it? Is this the year where they got to really flex the muscles and put themselves in the position?
They fell off the wagon last year, didn't they? They were really strong for about two-thirds of the year. And then in that final third of the season, they were overtaken by Featherstone and Halifax, basically, weren't they? And you know what? I think that they've thickened out the squad a little bit this year. From looking at it, they've brought guys like we're going to be hearing from in just a minute, Rapira in. And I think as well that they're that year older in the careers. They've got more experience of what it's like to go to some of these grounds now. And, you know, maybe they'll get a top four spot this time. Shall we hear from Sam Rapira as he chatted to James Gordon.
Been really good. The language barrier is probably the hardest thing about it, but people are good. Weather's a bit different to the UK, so families are enjoying it. Yeah, a bit better. Yeah.
Are you learning French? Is that what you're doing? Yeah.
We started a class last week, so want to try and learn the language as best I can. So a few of the boys don't speak any English at all, so it's supposed to be able to, get to know them a bit more. I need to learn, learn French. So hopefully I get it down soon.
How did the move come about?
A club approached me, and few trips to France playing Catalan and that, obviously a lovely place, warm in the summer. So location definitely appealed to me, and sort of what the club want to do also attracted me there. They're not sort of here to make numbers. They want to, try and obviously try and get the Super League eventually. So to be a part of a club that's willing to try and get to that level will be something, I thought would be pretty cool. So a few things that sort of brought me to Toulouse, and I think it's worked out really well.
And do you feel that's something, obviously being around the boys and stuff, that you can compete and get in that top four?
I think the playing group we've got is really good. A good balance of sort of senior and young guys. A lot of local French boys, which I think is good, obviously being a French club. But I think it's a team that's been together for 3 or 4 years now, so the bond within the boys, you can tell, is strong, which sometimes isn't easy to get as a team. So I think that, for a starter, is good. But again, every team's strong. So as long as we play as well as we can, I think we're going to compete really well this year.
And I guess, you'll be going in as an old head, as an experienced sort of head now. You passing that on, passing it on to the French players in particular is quite important.
Talking to coach a little bit, he's sort of, I suppose, put that role on me, which I'm more than happy to do. I won't enforce anything, but I suppose I'll just try and do my best and hopefully, rub off on the boys a bit. But the young boys at the club are willing to learn, which makes things a lot easier. So it's a really good environment. Training's been really good, so it's just everyone's ready to start playing.
So they're ready to start playing over at Toulouse. I think looking at that and listening to that interview and the way Sam was describing, they've got a few young players that are coming through.
Yeah.
And obviously they want him to be that guiding role.
He's got a lot of experience, so I don't see why not.
Oh, he does. He does. A tremendous player, to be honest. And, did quite well in his spell over to Huddersfield, didn't he, before?
I like the coach. He looks like he's going to lose his temper at any minute.
He's a really good bloke, actually, Sylvain Houllier.
He just has that French look where he's going to blow his top.
He's amazing to speak to, and he's got so much experience within the game, because not only did he play for Toulouse and various other French clubs over a 15, 16-year career, I think he tried his luck in Australia at one point as well. So, certainly things sounding like they're on the up over at Toulouse. So we decided that we move from Toulouse, we jump back over the channel.
Swimming,
yeah.
Okay.
And we thought that we would catch up with the Halifax boss, Richard Marshall. So once again, James, thanks a lot to James Gordon for doing the interviews. And here is the conversation that they had.
It's exciting. In pre-season, you do your best week in, week out, but you haven't got a game at the end of the week. We have... next weekend we play Featherstone away and we're into the season, so we're looking forward to it.
What are your thoughts on the season? Obviously everyone's talking about Lee and Toronto, and does that mean that there's scope for teams like ourselves to go under the radar a little bit?
We'd like to think so. We'd be the underdogs, as I'm sure we'll Featherstone. There's 4 full-time teams in this competition now, which I've been coaching it 3 years now, and it's improved year on year. And with the depth and the money at the top end, it's going to be difficult for the likes of us, Featherstone, Batley, Sheffield, to break into that fold. It's not impossible. Nothing's impossible. We did it on the last day of the season last year. So we can do it again, hopefully, this year.
it was very important for you to get that four, because obviously you got in the top four in the first year and then sort of missed out the second year, didn't you? But Halifax have tended to get a lot out of the process, haven't you, of being in that middle eight?
You want to coach at the highest level, obviously, you know, whether that means Super League, but you get a bit of a chance to coach and play against Warrington last year, Catalans, teams like that, which was fantastic for us and our young players. They've got some good experiences to take away there. You know, we copped a hiding in a couple of the games, but it wasn't for the want of trying, and we've certainly improved as a result of them experiences. The reality is, if you don't make that four, you're in a competition that you really don't want to be in. However, you've still got to make the best of it.
Yeah. I mean, how important is it for you to be bringing through your own young players? I know, obviously, you've committed to the reserve system. And
we run a good model, in my opinion, at Halifax. With a reserve grade, we've got a college team, Tier 3 college team at Calderdale, and I think it's the way to go. You know, there's a lot of discussion about reserve grade. I think it should be mandatory, compulsory, whatever you want to call it. There should be a structured competition. I understand the reasons why some couple of teams have pulled out, but for us it's an investment. Without that, we probably wouldn't be running the team. We've done it for 3 years now as well, so we don't want to go backwards. But it needs to be run and monitored and administered better at the higher level. But I think it's fantastic. I think we need more players playing the game, and reserve grade certainly adds to my squad and the depth and talent to the squad at Halifax.
More the merrier, playing rugby league.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it should all be about at the end of the day, isn't
it?
You know, getting more players playing the game. I agree with him, really. And I suppose where I sit in this entire reserve debate, I would ditch academy rugby.
Ooh, okay.
Drop kick it into touch. Yeah.
All right, okay.
Because all your development should really be being done at the amateur clubs. They're doing a fantastic job. I'd ditch all your scholarships. And I'd make it so as you'd only sign players once they hit 19. Now, the reason
bring back the old Colts.
Yeah, well, the reason I picked 19 is that they've already then had a year at open age rugby, so as a professional club, that
whether they're good enough to step up to the
whether 18. They can step up. Yeah. So that's just my opinion, of course.
They should have a reserve league no matter what, but we could wrangle and argue all night about it until they actually sit down and say, right, we're going to have it, we're going to make it happen. It's not going to happen until that point.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you kind of look at the arguments that have gone down the years, and it all started off with Leeds, to be honest, strangely enough, didn't it?
Yes.
Perhaps one of the better resourced teams in the entire country, aren't they?
23 years of Super League, and we're still arguing whether they should have a reserve league or not. Halifax, everyone forgets they used to be in Super League.
They did, yeah.
A long time ago now.
They did. It is getting longer and longer each season, isn't it? You know, but Richard Marshall's done a cracking job, though.
Yeah, they made the middle eights. On two occasions. Can they do it this season?
It'll be tough, and I'm trotting out the old rugby league superlatives here, aren't I?
I noticed during that date at Huddersfield, tough was the buzzword.
Yeah.
I must have heard it about 40 times.
Yeah, it was probably the main word for me, so it got me saying it. So that's why I just thought it's tough. It is going to be tough
for
Halifax to make that spot. But, you know, there's enough talent in that squad, and certainly with the younger players coming through, for them to make their mark. And you know what? Yeah, let's hope that they do it.
We mentioned everyone forgets Halifax, that used to be in Super League. Do you remember when Featherstone used to be the best team in the Championship?
Yeah.
Remember them days?
We're not going too far back, are we?
In the days of the glory days of Darryl Powell,
yeah. And you see, everybody forgets. Now he's been at Castleford for as long as he has been.
Featherstone doesn't exist.
But, you know, they made the playoffs every single year that he was there. They won the competition a couple of times, didn't they? They finished top of the league, was it three, four years?
I've seen the start when he was a coach at one time. They played two seasons, and I think they only lost about two matches.
Exactly, you know. So he's arguably got as good a record as Paul Rowley did during his Lee days.
Now, Darryl Powell's not the coach, as you all know. It's John Duffy. And he's assembled a pretty decent squad for this year.
He has, yeah. You're looking at it and you're thinking, this is pretty handy. He's also returned to Lee to grab his old halfback partner, Martin Ridyard. And that's where we're going next, as James caught up with Martin to find out how his big move to Featherstone came about and how he's enjoying it.
So, Martin, how are you finding it at Feth?
Yeah, it's really enjoyable. Probably one of the most enjoyable pre-seasons I've had. Not because it's easy, I mean, it's been very tough, obviously, but just meeting new players and new faces, and so obviously everybody's ripping in, and like there's quite a new third new signing, so they're all like wanting a starting shirt. So yeah, it's been competitive, but like I say, we've had a lot of fun along the way as well.
I mean, everyone's talking about Lee and Toronto, but you know, I guess you guys are thinking, well, we could win it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people are saying we've got a good squad, but like I say again, on paper doesn't win your games, does it? So we know we've got a lot of work to do. I've just said the best thing for us this year is we need the right attitude week in, week out, whether we play Swinton, Barrow, Toronto, Toulouse or Lee. We've got to turn up every week, 100% mindset, and hopefully can pick a lot of wins up along the way.
Obviously a bit of a mixed season for you last season. I mean, what made you make the move to Featherstone? I mean, did you have other options? What made you choose Featherstone, I guess?
Yeah, I had a couple of options weighed up, but I think probably the way John Duffy coaches swung it for me a little bit. I mean, he's a personal friend along the way as well, but I watched Swinton last year and I know they struggled, but they played some good stuff, and I just thought, obviously with the calibre of players we've got this year, with the way he coaches, we can have a good year and maybe upset some teams. But like I said, we've got to earn that and work hard as well. But yeah, probably John Duffy swung it for me, and like I said, just want a good couple of years under Duff and see what we can do.
Is it going to be strange for you coming up against Lee?
Yeah, obviously, I mean, that's probably one question everyone's got asked this year. I've never played against Lee before. Obviously, I've been there for 9 years. I weren't a Lee player last year when I was at Huddersfield on loan, so it'll be interesting. I mean, we played Lee at Lee the first game, so it'll be interesting to see what reception I get. I'm pretty sure it'll be decent, but once game kicks off, if I'm not getting any stick, then I've done something wrong, really. So I should expect some friendly abuse, should I say. Nothing, as long as it's not personal, I'm not too bothered.
Were you a bit disappointed at how things panned out at Lee last season?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, like the beginning of the year didn't work out too well for me injury wise, and I wasn't fit. And then obviously with going on loan, I didn't get a chance. But yeah, I'm not too worried about it now. I'm not that upset. The most thing what upset me the most about it was it took 9 years to get there, and then the club got relegated again. So that was me, like, as a Lee fan, I was gutted. I mean, I had no part to play in the £1 million game. I mean, I was injured and I was on loan, but I was absolutely devastated for my mates, for the fans. And yeah, a lot of our work's gone in over probably the last 5 or 6 years there for get to the promised land, and we went back down on first attempt. So yeah, I was gutted as a Lee boy as well as a player. So hopefully, like I say, they can have another good go at it, but not at our expense.
You can take the boy out of Lee, but you can't take the Lee out the boy.
Ah, but he did say, though, didn't he? He wanted Lee success, but not at the expense of Featherstone, his current club.
That's where his commitments lie, though.
To be fair as well to Martin, I would see him as almost a marquee championship signing. I might be talking from, you know, maybe a bit of bias, but I've seen his career develop over this last 9 years, and I don't believe there is a better halfback in the Championship than Martin Ridyard on his day.
I can imagine him walking into that Lee ground when his team do play him. He'll walk into the Lee dressing room by mistake.
Yeah, it's sort of programmed. My car's a bit like that when I drive into Warrington, to be honest. I know exactly where I'm going and I know where I'm parking. He's probably got exactly the same thing going on over at the Lee Sports Village.
And as for Featherstone, we mentioned some of the players. Gaz Ock. Is John Duffy mad or is he brave?
I think that's a really good signing, to be honest. If they can keep him fit, because, I mean, that was part of the issue last season. He started off the season brilliant form. People were even talking about him representing England at the World Cup, potentially.
Wow.
Such was his form over the first 6 weeks of the
season.
So
what you're saying is now, instead of being suspended for half of the season, he's injured for half of it.
That's what happened last year. He did get injured last year and unfortunately ended up missing, you know, much of the year. But listen, Gaz Hock on his day is a fantastic player, and he's another one that's right up there top notch. If Featherstone can keep him fit, if he enjoys the way that John Duffy sets his team up, then they've got themselves a really good signing.
Watch this space, as we say then.
Watch this
Gaz
space.
Ock is a reformed character, according to Dave Parkinson.
Well, you know, when you actually do see him, I mean, you saw him for a season at Widnes.
I know, he's
good.
And I like his style.
It?
He just gets himself in trouble quite a lot. Or used to. Used to is the buzzword.
Used to. Right, okay. So we're going from a club that was on the up to one that was on its uppers come the end of last season.
In the doldrums, weren't they?
Swinton Lions. There was even talk
Doom
about
and gloom.
Whether they would come back, but we've got a new board on board over there at Swinton. They've put a squad together. They fought well under the stewardship of the coaching staff that remained, Stuart Littler and what have you. And, you know, I caught up with Andy Thornley, and, you know, he's pretty impressed with what's going on there at the moment. Shall we hear from him? Well, Andy Thornley, we only seem to catch up at these events these days. How's things going at Swinton?
Yeah, I know, it's a bit of a strange scenario, but no, everything's going well at the minute. I'm out with my ACL till March, so I'm just cracking away with the rehab, but the lads have really dug into a tough pre-season. We've got some fresh faces that have been brought in, some kind of youthful exuberance, as you might say, and obviously we've got a new coach, new chairman, as obviously there's a new life about the place.
It certainly feels it, you know, there's a lot of real positive stuff being put out and positive vibes from the Swinton Club at the minute.
Yeah, that's what I mean, especially everybody knows the issues that we had last year, but it's really kind of warming to feel the fans, the new chairman, the board, all the players coming together and kind of persevering through it, and obviously it's going to do us in good stead moving forward.
Because how close to touch and go was it actually at the club?
Well, obviously the lads try not to get too involved with it, obviously just want to play the game week in, week out, but obviously when you've got the council involved, and obviously there's got to be some seriousness behind it, so obviously it was really close, I think, to the club going under, but obviously just the efforts from everyone across the board kind of working hard and obviously getting it to where it is now is obviously a big achievement.
So yeah, so it was a massive achievement for Swinton to actually, I suppose, guarantee their survival and move forward. And I'm certainly hoping that they can push their way forward and get up the table now.
It just shows you in the Championship, all right, we've got Toulouse and Toronto on a different mission to 80% of the clubs in that league. But for the other clubs, like your Swinton's,
Barrow,
who's
come up,
yes, Barrow, Sheffield, you know, for them it's day to day survival, isn't it?
It is, and it's to be fair, it's been like that for a long, long time, hasn't it? Outside of Super League, I know that we, mainly get listened to by Super League fans, but there's got to be an acknowledgement that the rest of the game is in a little bit of a state, really. They live in a hand-to-mouth existence.
Yeah.
You know, you've got sort of Swinton who tend to sort out their home ground and being able to stop wherever with an agreement every season or two. We've had, you know, Sheffield playing outside of the city for a while.
Well, that's been their aim, to get back within the city. I spoke to Mark Aston. We can't use the audio today because of the time limits we've got. But he did say to me, the ground is getting built and they're hoping, fingers crossed, if it all goes to plan, that they will be back in Sheffield next season.
Yeah, did he mention something about temporary stands?
Yeah.
They'll probably get that same one that was at the place where they played a couple of years ago, which all went at the back end of one set of posts.
So the new ground is going to be built and they'll be back where they feel they should belong.
Well, they should be. You know, I mean, let's face it, there's been a link between Sheffield and Rugby League since, was it 1984, when the original club was formed? And they were playing out of Owleton Graham Stadium, which they went back to a couple of years ago. Less said about that experience, the better for me, as it turned out. But they need to be playing within the city. They need to be putting themselves out there, getting the younger people, you know, interested in rugby league, and I'm certainly that's high on Mark Aston's agenda.
We've mentioned Halifax and not being in the Super League for nearly 10 years now.
Well, it's more, isn't it? Because it was 2003, 2004 when they were in.
Now, London Broncos, they've been out of Super League now for about four or five seasons now, haven't they? So are they going to go down the same road as Halifax have been out the big league for a long period of time?
Well, I think a lot of people in the game are still talking London up, aren't they? And they're still wanting a London presence around about Super League. The big thing for me is how London develop this year, because they've had Andrew Henderson there for a couple of seasons.
Yeah, fantastic job.
He's been brilliant, and as a result, has got a really good job at Warrington.
Danny Ward, they've got a big pair of boots to fill there, hasn't
definitely
he?
But I mean, the interesting thing with Ward is that he's been doing jobs down there for, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years himself, so he knows the system. Yeah. It's a case of whether he can just get those players. I mean, they've not had a big turnover of players, so when you look at the last couple of years where they finished second in the Championship in the regular season, you certainly wouldn't expect them to be too far away from that mark anyway, would you?
No, not at all. But it'd be interesting to see how London Broncos do go under the guideship of Danny Ward and one or two players that have come into the London Broncos way of thinking.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we haven't mentioned Lee really in this podcast much. And
no, we haven't.
They'll be fancying the chances of getting back up to Super League.
They'll be wanting to go straight in, won't they?
They will.
They want to do a Huckinson Rovers. Dewsbury, they were a team that were on the downs last year as well, weren't they, until the Messiah, Neil Kelly, came in and saved the day.
How much did he change that club? Wow, almost what a overnight. Turn, man.
That's the story of last season for me.
I mean, they probably used about 50 players in the process, which, you know, is more than far in
more
excess
than
of what
enough.
You want.
Could have had two reserve teams out of that.
You could have done, but I think players
right,
were
one and a half.
Players were sort of coming in and going out at a rate of knots until the back end of the season when, you know, Neil was able to get his point across. And, you know, I watched Dewsbury probably three or four times at the back end of last season, and they really impressed me. And he's brought a couple of really good players in from the likes of Huddersfield as well. So, you know, they've got to aim at finishing at the top of that mini league that you were talking about. That includes the likes of Barrow, Swinton, Rochdale, Hornets, you know, in there. And, you know, it's going to be interesting for Rochdale as well. I mean, they were top of the table after two games last year.
They were, and they're hanging on by the fingernails towards the end, weren't they?
But, you know, they proved themselves to be a good championship club and really did fight. But they're going to have to fight twice as hard now because, you know, the teams that have come up are...
just the teams that have come up, but the teams that have dropped down.
Well, yeah, and, you know, with all due respect to Rochdale, they probably pay one of the lowest salary caps.
They've always had
thing.
To operate on a tight budget, haven't they? Very and again, that's because of off-field problems they had a couple of years ago.
Mm. Mm. And, of course, we're not mentioning the new boys, Barrow, either. I mean, if Toronto hadn't been in League One last season, then
Barrow would have been champions.
Well, they would have been, but that would have been the big story because they only lost, I think, three games all season.
Yeah.
Which was tremendous, you know. And
it's good to see Barrow back in the championship, that's all I can say.
I would agree. They've got a good support base there that follows them around everywhere, and certainly in League One, you're putting the miles on, aren't you?
And again, their routine that everyone forgets, a big idea to be in Super League a couple of years ago.
Well, yeah, that was under the Des Johnston years that nobody wants to talk about
anymore.
No, they
don't,
do they?
But it still happened. It was still a colourful past that they've got.
It did. It all happened, and they were a fantastic team at the time.
I suppose if we went for the fact Widnes won the Northern Rail Cup, Barrow would have been in the Super League.
Potentially. Yeah, potentially. And, I mean, how many times do we have these conversations where we've been saying, oh, everybody seems to be ignoring the real hotbed of the game, which is Cumbria.
Exactly.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
That's a championship done and dusted. It's going to be a great season, isn't it?
Oh, can't wait.
There's going to be plenty of matchups, plenty of stories, plenty of interest. And hopefully it'll get plenty of TV coverage.
Well, I don't know about TV coverage, but it'll get plenty of coverage.
Should get TV coverage.
I know I'm at Lee in Toronto at the weekend.
Oh, you've got the hottest ticket in town for
Can't
the championship.
Wait. Can't wait. I'm going to get there dead early. You never know. My seat might be taken. Maybe I should camp out overnight like all these Brittany fans are doing.
Now that's when Lionel goes there.
Oh, well, I'll be doing that as well, to be fair. Lionel Richie playing Lee Sports Village.
But Lee are away to Toulouse the same night. Lee fans are going to be in the dilemma. Oh, what do we do? They'll go on the rugby with the lads for the weekend, or do we take the missus to watch Lionel Richie? Oh, dilemmas.
You know what? I think half of them have made their mind up and they've already booked to go to Toulouse, to be fair.
Just tell the missus to come and get a ticket for the Lionel Richie. Sorry, love, didn't know anything about it. Anyway, moving away from the championship, let's talk League One, because there's still plenty of things to talk about in that league as well. And the big talking point of League One, before the ball has been even kicked, is the fact that the former World Club champions, the Kings of Super League, the Kings of Summer Rugby League, due to off-field problems and one thing or another, have found themselves in League One.
Oh, why are you leading with Bradford Bulls? I'm fed up with this story.
No, you're not.
Mind you, yeah, it's been like the story that keeps on giving, isn't it? The Bradford Bulls story over the last 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
Just the down and down and down of Bradford Bulls.
Well, York are making a big thing of it, because they go head-to-head, first of all, and they're making a big promotion for it to get a big crowd there at their ground for the opening game.
I tell you what, have you seen York's recruitment?
Impressive.
They've done some really good recruits. I mean, Benker Kane's there, and they've got signed a couple of other lads from Old Kingston Rovers.
Well, James Ford is that eager to get back out there and sign new players. They couldn't even get hold of him at the launch. Boom, gone.
Yeah, well, there was a few like that, wasn't there?
There was.
But yeah, I mean, you've clocked it. John Keir actually getting the job at Bradford Bulls as well. You go
the granddaddy
like
of them all.
The granddaddy of rugby league coaching. But, you know, let's be fair. has there been a better coach in the last 25 years when working with limited resources?
No. If there's ever a man that likes a challenge and gets the best out of limited resources, John Kerr is the person I'd be looking forward to.
And you caught up with him at the launch.
If there's ever a man that likes a challenge in rugby league, John Kerr, you seem to enjoy the challenges. New graphic coach, how's that going?
Yeah, it's a new challenge, isn't it? Yeah, and you know, honestly, that's what really appealed to me when this opportunity arose, and I was speaking about it with Andrew Chalmers, the sort of owner of Bradford Bulls. This is what really appealed to me. It's something I've never done before. It's a new experience. It's one I'm going to embrace, and it's a great challenge in order to restore what probably I feel is the most iconic name outside Super League, to attempt to restore them back to Super League within the next few years.
Still had a glamorous name within the league, Bradford. So to achieve that, what's going to happen this season?
Well, we've got to make sure that we respect the opposition and respect the competition, and we prepare absolutely thoroughly for every single game. And if we do that, we'll play as well as we can. If we play as well as we can, we'll be in with a great shout.
It's going to be new territory for a lot of the guys in League One, so what can you expect?
Well, we can expect it's going to be tough. I've already spoken extensively with Brian Noble, who obviously was in a very similar position with Toronto last year, and he's given us some good tip-offs. I'm big friends with Craig Lingard, and he spoke to me about the challenges playing down at Hemel and at places like Coventry and West Wales. So, yeah, that it's different, and that's the appeal to it. But also, we know full well that every single club's there got a rugby league pitch with posts at either end, and so ultimately it comes down to the process of rugby league, and we feel we'll be pretty good at them.
The guys are going to have to roll their sleeves up and get stuck in, week out.
Yeah, they're going to have to get their elbows and knees dirty, no doubt about that. You know, it's they're not going to be swanning about as, shall we say, Super League lovies. They've got to be down at the coalface, earning the money by rolling the sleeves up and working very, very hard.
How's your pre-season gone?
It's gone very well, and I'd like to compliment the strength and conditioning staff and Lee Beattie, who headed it up before I joined there, because they're in a great condition physically, the players, and they're understanding what we want structurally and system-wise, so I'm pretty pleased where we are at the minute. But I think everybody will be saying the same in this room, because nobody's lost a game yet, so we'll see what everybody's saying at the end of April.
Ooh, he's edging his bets there, isn't
he? He is, isn't he? They got to fancy the chances, surely.
You would think so. I mean, I know we've said about him working well with limited resources, and he has been on the coaching staff at the likes of Wakefield. He was boss at Batley. But you'd think, compared with some of the other clubs that are down in League One, they've surely got a lot much more resources at Bradford.
But they got the fan base straight away, so that's going to buy you a quality player straight away, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think against...
Just on that gate revenue.
I think against Toronto, I think they got 2,500 through on a
friendly.
On a horrible Friday night,
exactly.
As well.
So, yeah, all the spotlight in League One will be on Bradford Bulls in League One, my word.
Now, we go from perhaps the oldest coach in the professional game, so certainly its newest. I don't know about youngest, but certainly its newest. And you had a bit of a chat with Leon Price. Shall we hear it now?
And you're currently one of Rugby League's newest coaches, Leon Price. How's life up in Workington?
Very good, yeah. Loving life up there. Fantastic part of the world. A little bit wet, a little bit cold, but I love the Rugby League, and that's the main thing.
Just talking about your Rugby League, how's things gone pre-season for you?
Fantastic, boys training really hard, but hard but fun, and we're looking forward to the season starting.
What kind of challenges do you think can be coming your way?
It's going to be tough. We've got a lot of tough teams in this competition, so it's going to be tough, especially because I'm a stress head as well, so I'm sure if things don't go well straight away, I'll be stressing myself out, but nah, I'm only joking, it'll be good. Looking forward to it.
Certainly put a good team together for this season.
Yeah, we have. But I'm happy where we're at the moment. A couple more signings and I'll be very happy.
And for yourself, have you found the adaptation from player to coach?
Oh, he's rugby's rugby. Rugby lads are all the same. The lads that I've got are great set of lads that are showing me good respect. I've not got any difficult players. I've got no idiots. We've got a good set of men, so that's made it very easy.
Now, do you think your pre-season's gone?
Fantastic.
Can't say any further than that. It's been fantastic. You're hoping for a fantastic season, obviously.
Fantastic.
Fantastic's the buzzword.
Yeah, fantastic. No, it's been good. Had a good pre-season. Looking just keep everybody fit. As totally, you know, I don't want to pick up too many injuries in these friendly games, and build on some more combinations in preparation for the first game against Keighley away.
Fantastic.
Fantastic is certainly the buzzword.
Fantastic was the buzzword.
You know what that interview reminded me of?
He's a coach and he's a stresser. My word. That's not a good combination.
Do you know what that interview reminded me of? It was almost as if you were speaking to Chris Kamara.
Yeah.
Because that's just the feel of it. You know, he's fantastic. He's fantastic. But
I was amazed when he said he's a stresser. I'm thinking, you're a coach and you're a stresser.
That was an interesting revelation, wasn't it?
He's going to be kicking water bottles and everything if it goes wrong during the games there, isn't he?
To be fair, up at Workington, it's a good job that they've got that track around, isn't it, where the speedway goes.
I can imagine Leon running on those and try and play again. Get it done. Get out of the way. I'll do it.
But again, they've made a couple of interesting signings, haven't they?
Plays there, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And I saw that they'd signed Ollie Wilkes. He's going round again up there.
A lot of experience. So Workington could be a force to be reckoned with.
And Sean Penkovic as well.
Big signings.
You know, Toronto pensioned him off last year. They said, oh, he's retired. And Penky's come back. And I hope that he has a good season, to be honest.
Got a lot of ability. I've always liked Sean Penkovic.
Yeah, yeah. Really, really good player.
It'd be interesting to see how Leon goes in his first season.
It is going to be fascinating, I think.
Yeah, fantastic.
Fantastic. Yeah, that definitely is that buzzword. Right, so from fantastic Workington, our trip through the League One took us to Doncaster.
Oh, we couldn't think of anything else to go with Doncaster. No, we can't. Go on.
So you caught up with Richard Horn, who is probably, is he the second youngest coach by length of service, I think?
Maybe.
Because he got like his gig in the middle of the last season, didn't he? Up at Doncaster.
Richard Horn, brand new season ahead. How are things looking for Doncaster?
Yeah, very good at the moment. We had our first hit out against London. Some real positive signs came out of that and some areas that we need to work on. But again, we can hopefully correct them this weekend against Batley.
It's going to be a tough season this season, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very tough competition. I think everyone's strengthened that were in the comp last year, and obviously with Bradford and Oldham coming down, two very strong teams and very physical. It's going to be an interesting year.
And once again in League One, it's going to be plenty of travelling.
Yes, probably not as much. We don't have Toronto in there, so that's probably the fairest one that we did. But it is what it is. It's in. The areas, like some again, areas that rugby league's been developed, and some great historical areas like the Cumbrian teams and that are in here, have got a lot of history in the game. So going up there, and they're always tough places to go, and very very intimidating with the fans and that they've got down there. But really good challenges for us.
Your preparations, yeah, more than happy how it's all gone.
Yeah, it's been the preparation for our season, our pre-season has been really good. The boys are in really good shape, and it showed that against London. So again, I thought we matched them for long periods within that. We're considering they're full time and very strong and athletic and powerful in the way that they play, and we cope with that for the majority of the game. Just some little areas and little times in the game where we just clocked off and they managed to capitalise, and that's a big message for the boys in playing for the full 80, and hopefully we'll get that for the Batley game.
What brand of rugby will Donny produce this season?
Yeah, we want to play. You know what I mean? I think every probably coach is coming out and saying that to play a bit expansive, but not getting away from the conditions early in the year aren't going to be the best conditions for that. So you're probably going to have to do it tough for the first month or so before we look to start moving the ball and moving teams about a little bit. So it's going to be a very physical start to the season.
A physical start to the season as far as Doncaster are concerned.
Yeah.
You know what? I think he's a guy that has, knows his onions.
He does.
I mean, he was a great player, wasn't he, over at Hull?
Very skillful player. Very, very thoughtful player, wasn't he?
And he seems to have taken that thoughtful. I'm just thinking of, like how he answered those questions which you put to him. He's taken that thoughtfulness into his coaching as well, because they were really measured answers, weren't they?
They were. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was saying. So you can see on match days, he's going to get his point across very clearly. Big question for Doncaster. Can they get promoted from that league?
You know what? I think everybody's going to be looking at the likes of Bradford, and they're going to be looking at York, and they'll probably look up at the M6 at the likes of Workington and Whitehaven.
Don't they, Workington?
And Whitehaven are going to be similarly strong as well. But you know what? I mean, they did actually reach the semi-finals last year, and they always seem to get some young players that, you know, haven't really been that much of a success anywhere else to start playing, you know, a good brand of rugby at Doncaster. And they're another one that has some fantastic facilities. You know,
you're copying Leon Price now. Fantastic.
I know, but you know, this is why we're a fantastic podcast.
Stop it, right? Enough of the fantastic.
Okay.
Good luck to Richard Horne and Doncaster. Right, we're going to move from South Yorkshire and go to Wales. North Wales Crusaders, to be precise. And we caught up with a very enthusiastic Mike Grady.
Are you more than happy with your squad for this season?
I am, yeah. Just spoke to a few people today. At this point last year, we're a lot better than what we were at this point last season. So currently I'm very happy. Obviously, it could be different when we kick a ball, mate. But at this moment in time, squad's a lot better, a lot stronger. And we've been training a lot harder, so we're looking forward to it.
What kind of things are you hoping to achieve this season?
It's a good question, isn't it? Just the main thing for us was consistency. We were very inconsistent last year. We seemed to perform against the top eight sides and ground out some great results, and then when we played the bottom eight sides with respect, we were just inconsistent. Whether that was complacency, I don't know, but with the additions we've added this year, I'm hoping that we can sort that consistency issue out and maybe just learn to manage games a bit more and go from there, and basically just looking at a better finish than what we did last year.
League One looks like it's going to be another competitive season.
It is, mate, yeah. Again, touched on that with a couple of the other League One coaches today. It looks like a very tough league. Everywhere you look, mate, you look at people's predictions, and I don't think we're even in people's top 10. So we've gone massively under the radar, which is fantastic for us. But I'm more than confident we can have a good go of it this year. But as you say, it's going to be a very tough competition.
And you're enjoying yourself as a coach still?
Yeah, I love it, mate. Yeah, just brings all different types of pressures, doesn't it? But I love that game day, match day, the pressure, win, lose, draw. It's fantastic, mate. I love doing what I'm doing. I love being around the lads. And yeah, it's fantastic, mate. And long may it continue.
You've always cut your teeth within the Rugby League in Wales. What's the appetite like in Wales for Rugby League?
Mate, it's massive. And obviously that comes from South Wales at first and now into North Wales. And mate, there's rugby players out there, predominantly rugby union, yeah, but there's rugby players out there. They all love watching rugby league. They all love the physicality of the sport, how quick the sport is, and when they play it, there's a competition a bit more established down South Wales. So you've got the teams like Ballycougars, Torvai, West Wales, who now become the pro side in the league, mate. There's loads of appetite for it down there, but it's just getting a grip of it, trying to nurture that, which we're trying to do at the moment. We've got the North Wales Origin side, we've got our reserve side, which are going to be in North West Counties League 2. So we're trying the small steps in place, but it's about continuing them steps, just bearing with it, having a bit of patience, and I think eventually we'll see more Lloyd White, Regan Grace. There's talent there, so just need to be patient, and it takes time.
I suppose a successful season for yourselves on the field would help that process.
Yeah, it would, mate. Obviously, I hope so. Anyway, we'll look, mate, top playoffs, I think top five this year, so I'm confident we can be there or thereabouts around the playoffs. But again, it's down to ourselves, how we perform, sorting our consistency issue out, and then, as you say, I've no doubt we can be up there or thereabouts.
He loves his rugby league in Wales.
Oh, he does.
He is Mr. Wales of rugby league.
He's very confident as well, though, isn't he, Mike? And
yeah.
You know, that's what I like about him. For me, North Wales, they need to get back and start producing some of their own players, don't they? Which he's talked about with part of this, you know, Origin squad that they've got based up there, and the fact that they are operating a reserve system.
Hasn't that been the challenge for any Welsh team?
Well, it has. But you know, I think it's more imperative there now, because we've had a presence in Wrexham, haven't we, or thereabouts, for a number of years, and we've not really seen anybody come through, have we, yet?
No.
Now, I do know that a lot of work is going on, so I'm not decrying the amount of development work that is going on, because they ran a successful under-18s team last year, which was very well received. They've obviously stepping up some of those lads to operate a reserve team in the North West Men's League, and I certainly hope that it's a success. And I know I say that with everybody, because I just love to see rugby league go from strength to strength, or I would love to see it go from strength to strength rather than sort of lurching from one crisis up at the top of the sport to another. But yeah, it's a big year for North Wales, this one.
It's a big year for London Scholars as well, and that's where we're going next, as we caught up with London Scholars. He's been there forever, hasn't he? A coach, player, now he's a director, Mark Croston.
Mark Croston, how are things looking at the scores this season?
No, good. Pre-season's been tough, as I suppose every club probably said to you. But yeah, we're looking forward to the year ahead. We've managed to retain most of our squad from last year, which is really like important for us, to get a bit of continuity there. So that's important. And we've added a few experienced players, in particular Amari Caro. That's a big name for us to obviously bring down to the club with the Super League experience he's got, so he's had a good impact. And then the young boys from last year, with a year under their belt, have come back hungry and raring to go.
Just looking back on last season, how do you feel it went?
Just over a month, I suppose. Disappointing, really. We got off to a really flat start, which ended up costing us in the end. With being so close to the eights, it was pretty difficult to take, especially with a few of the games. You'd probably say, even as a neutral, if you watched them, we threw them away, which obviously was difficult to take. But then once we got into the bottom eights, obviously it isn't where we wanted to be, but we put a real emphasis on trying to get to that final and then win it to send our captain out, Dave Williams, in style. Unfortunately, we did fall at the final hurdle, but yeah, the second half of the season obviously was a lot better. But yeah, disappointing really to not make the eights.
So I suppose with that in mind, it's all about getting off to a good start.
Yeah, that there's been a big emphasis on that this year, trying to build pre-season to really get off to a good start, and then just take it game by game. It's obviously going to be a difficult league this year with you just playing everyone twice, not being a top eight and bottom eight. But yeah, we're confident with us obviously keeping the squad together, and having that continuity that we are confident we will go well this year.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
With all the talk on being on Bradford in League One and the fact John Kay's there and now Leon Price at Workington, right? Mm-hmm. We've touched up on one of the couple of expansion clubs, if you want to still call them that. London Scholars has been around for years, so can you still call them an expansion club?
Well, I think they're 23 years old this time exactly. round, so yeah. You know, they have been around and they know the drill, don't they?
Mm. But what I was going to say was, in the big story, everyone seems to have missed out the fact there's no Oxford or Gloucester this year.
Yeah, that was a bit of a strange one. That seemed to be dropped on these clubs sort of fairly late. Yeah. Although, I do believe Lionel Hurst is trying to get a Gloucester club back.
All right. A resurrection.
Now, we've heard that they're going to be having, is it a club in
Bristol?
Bristol.
The Bristol Sonics.
The Bristol Sonics exist already, yeah. But, you know, it's a weird one. I mean, neither club really broke many pots, did they, no. Over this last few years?
I had high expectations for Oxford. I thought if anyone's going to cut it, it could be them, but it just never happened.
Why?
I don't know.
Yeah, man, I remember you going down to the actual launch event of that club.
Very impressive. You had Tony Benson as the coach. You know, you had the old chief exec from St. Helens.
Was it Tony Colquitt?
Tony Colquitt there. And you're thinking a lot of experience within the game. I'm thinking, you know, you're looking at the setup. But if anyone could do it, Oxford could be the team to get your ticket for.
They lost being able to play at Ilfley Road, though, didn't they? Which was where you went for that yeah. original event. And
I think I called it the most picturesque ground in rugby league at the time.
Yeah. I don't know where it'd be the most picturesque ground now, but that's probably a discussion for another time.
But yeah, we mentioned with the Scholars there. Hemel Staggs, no one's really talking about them.
Yeah, again.
They've been around a lot longer than the Scholars.
1981 they were formed.
Exactly.
And they've sort of lurched from one
disaster to another.
Well, I don't know about disaster, you know, but they are
right,
now
crisis.
Lost. I wouldn't even go that far. They've sort of lurched an interest in living, I suppose, in rugby league.
Yeah.
You know, now they've lost Troy Perkins. He decided to chuck his all in at the end of last season, so there's a new coaching staff in place. Again, I think it's a case of they need to find their roots again, because I think they moved up to Dewsbury almost lock, stock and barrel last season.
Lost their identity.
Kind of lost it a little bit. You know, looking at some of the other clubs as well, Newcastle Thunder had a really good second half of the season last year. And you're thinking, with you know, the squad that was in place there, they should go well once again.
Should do better, shouldn't they?
Here's where Oldham fit in. They got relegated from the Championship last season. I've seen Oldham a couple of times already this pre-season. They look like they mean business. They've got a big pack. They've got some fast backs. They've got two half backs that know what they're doing. And here's my early tip. I think Oldham could be the team to beat, to be fair.
No, I'm going to go with York again.
York have done really well with the recruitment so far in this pre-season. And I'm sure that there may be one or two other names to add to that. And I like James Ford. Tells you as it is, and he's a very shrewd coach.
Early suggestions seem to say that Whitehaven could be in for a season of struggle.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, they were very good last season. They got to the playoff final, didn't they?
They did, but they've had to cut the budget, haven't they, a little bit?
There's been a lot of swapping of players. I did notice that, you know, and they've signed quite a few who were at Workington last season, which, you know, they've made that short distance jumping across.
Crossing the Great Divide.
Exactly. But
getting egged. Every Workington deals around that neck of the woods.
I don't think it's that bad, you know.
Okay. I might be wrong. What do I know?
I think there's a keen rugby league rivalry, but I don't think it goes quite to the whole extreme of getting egged and stuff like that, to be fair.
Remember the whole no KR. One thing that does look like they're going to struggle, it'd be interesting to see how they go. West Wales.
I mean, Mike Grady, who we spoke to.
And his team beat him 60-0 in a friendly.
60 points to nil in a friendly, you know, so yeah.
That doesn't bode well, does it?
But then again, they've been propping up everybody for the last couple of seasons, haven't they, really?
Yeah.
And now, we said about lurching. They have lurched from one crisis to another. I mean, they started off as South Wales Scorpions.
Well, they're in partnership with Wigan for a bit, weren't they?
They were. Then the Scorpions were no more, and it was just South Wales wherever. I can't remember. And now they've gone over to West Wales now. So, you know, they're moving about. They need to find a home. They're at risk of becoming another Swinton, aren't they?
Yes.
Not knowing where they're playing from season to season, you know. And I'm hoping that they can lay some foundations down there. Because, like Mike Grady alluded to in his interview, there's lots of raw rugby talent that is in that area. It just needs to be harnessed towards league.
Now, Huntsman might be always in the shadow of Leeds Rhinos, but they keep banging that drum in South Leeds.
They do, and I like Huntsman, and I like Gary Thornton as a coach. I like the way that he sets them up, and I had the pleasure of seeing him at the end of last season, where they've got a young halfback there called Sanderson, who's come through that whole Leeds Academy system. Great little player, cracking goal kicker. He was the major difference when they played against London Scholars, funnily enough, in the bottom eight playoff, if you like. That was at the end of the season. And, he's managed to add a little bit more experience to the squad this year. So maybe they'll do well. Perhaps they'll be touching that top four. Certainly touching that top four. Keithley Cougars, we've not mentioned them.
Exactly. They're going to have a say on matters as well. So it's going to be an intriguing battle in that League One.
Yeah. I mean,
some big guns in there from the old days of rugby league.
Bradford are obviously talking themselves up like they always do. But certainly not John Keir. John Keir knows his onions, doesn't he? But everybody else is talking Bradford up. That is really, if you're ignoring all of this other stuff that's going on. I mean, Coventry Bears are also another team that is working hard off the field. I think they played against Leeds the other week, didn't they? And had, was it 1,200, 1,300 people packing through the turnstiles? I know it was a club record attendance anyway. So, you know, things obviously stepping in the right direction there. And it's intriguing when you look at that League One, because there's probably five or six clubs which could all be vying for the promotion spots.
Now, we did a bit of a journey without leaving the studio to get the interviews that we had. If you're a player or a fan of any of them teams, you're going to be doing some travelling in that League One next season.
Oh, you are. Yeah, you're certainly putting the mileage on. We always used to joke about, was it Steve McCormack when he was over at Whitehaven?
Yes.
Saying you wouldn't want to buy a second-hand car off him.
Off him.
Imagine if you're one of these coaches that has to travel down to these places.
Wow.
Some journeys. But I tell you what, we are in for a fantastic season. And I'm going to use that as the word.
That is the new buzzword for League One.
Fantastic RL. Right, that's us just about done and dusted. Thanks for joining us. And we'll be back again very soon.
That was the final looter. That was the final looter. That was the final looter. That was the final looter.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.